Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, everybody. It's Wendy Dewar Hughes today on Creative Caravan Roadshow, and I'm here with my co-host, Suzanne Laurence. How are you today, Suzanne?
Hi, I'm fine. I think I need to change my name to Wendy, though.
We were just laughing about that. Today, I'm really pleased to have as our guest Wendy Burge. So there might be a little Wendy confusion here today, but we'll work it out. I'm just thrilled that Wendy has agreed to join us. And I would like to tell you a little bit about her. Wendy is a life and business coach for heart-centered businesswomen and creative professionals. She helps her clients align their creative passions with business strategies so they can make money doing what they love. And I think you're going to love this inspiration-packed show. So hello, Wendy.
Hi, Wendy. Hi, Suzanne. How are you today?
I'm great. Let's just take a minute, Wendy, if you can just tell the listeners a little bit about your background before we get into some questions that Suzanne and I have for you.
Sure. I have always had creativity in my life. I was pretty much born a little creative artist. And I pursued art and creativity through my earlier years through university, and I have a certification as an art therapist. But what I found is that creativity has never left my side as I've morphed my career through the different phases of my life. And I really try to live my life with a encompassment of creativity on a daily basis. I know that you and I have connected, and we've been friends for many, many years, and that creativity in and of itself is just something that's been part of my life. And I love my dear friends like you, because we can talk about all kinds of wonderful things that are very creative. A lot of people would think we're kind of crazy, but from a place of when I started looking at doing business coaching, it took me a long time to even be able to swallow that word and say business along with creativity, because for a long time, things like that were never even aligned. Like, those two words just were not, they're almost polar opposites. So being able to, this day and age, use creativity in business is something that I love, and that's how I've kind of really developed my own, and we'll talk about this in a little bit, my own portfolio career, where I've created a business just out of being myself, of the different things that I personally developed over my lifetime.
I think you make a really good point about business and creativity being almost opposites. And I've talked to so many writers and artists who just cringe at the idea of having to do the business part and marketing themselves and things like that. And they would rather just, you know, be in their studio or be in front of their computer writing or whatever, and that part just to either go away or have someone deal with it. But you've managed to kind of put those two together in a way that really works for creative people. So we're going to talk about that in a minute, but what I want to know is, why is creativity an important subject to explore personally in these modern times, and why should this matter?
Well, that's a good question. I think that we've had a real shift the last decade, ever since we've really started bringing technologies into our lives. The way we live our life has become quite different. The demands that we used to have, or our precursors, our generations before us, life was really, really hard. Work was really dependent on the fact if we were going to survive or not. And I think what's happened is, because we've had technology come into our life and really come in a way that assists us, it's giving us more space and time to finally go, okay, well, if I'm not spending my life out on the farm, or I'm not having to, you know, pick up and leave my whole family just to move into a city because I need work, what else is now available to me? It's kind of challenged us to look at how we live our lives. And so in these modern times, it's the space that technology has allowed us to communicate between vast miles in halfway around the globe has really changed how we get to be present as people in our lives. And I think that that's one of the biggest things. And what's happened is if we can see what's going on over there on the other side of the world, it's really making us look at what is it that we have as values and how our lives are aligned now. And what are we doing? How are we living our lives? Because now we can really connect with people who are maybe living in some very, very dire situations that, you know, most of us in North America and some of the European countries and some of, you know, more the well-developed countries, these are not issues we struggle with on a daily basis. So we kind of have the space where if we're not running around wondering about survival, what's left for us? So personal reflection and development of our self-awareness is something that has really transformed and inspired people to start looking elsewhere. What
else
is my purpose?
That's a really good point. Yeah, what else is my purpose now?
Yeah, exactly.
Now, just looking at the word creativity, I think a lot of people have the concept that creativity is something that some people have, you're born with, and some are not. And, you know, if you don't have it, well, tough, you'll never get it.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk about that? Is it really just for a select group of people, or is there something else going on?
Well, I have a theory and thought about this. I really think that creativity is innately in us, primarily because we are from a creative process called birth. You know, we just didn't drop on this planet. That we're really, everything on the planet was birthed out of a creative process, you know, call it sex and it's love and this whole experience. And I think that that's part of our DNA. How we are creative expressions of love is how we are creative expressively showing up in our lives. And yet it isn't something that we valued as a culture. So when you start looking at creativity, because it doesn't have high value, as a societal aspect, like I know becoming from an artist, and you know, you've studied art history for years, thank God we did have people who were very creative and talented, or we wouldn't understand our history through the paintings and the murals and the different things that were left behind by our ancestors. However, what I've kind of felt is that it's unfortunate, but unless creativity was recognized as a gift or it could be profited from, it didn't hold a lot of value in our culture. But this is where this pendulum is swinging back when you look at creativity from this place of modern times where we have the space to look at ourselves and say, wow, the way I live my life is actually a creative expression. So it is innately in each one of us, actually.
That's interesting. And I think what we talked about a little bit earlier, too, about business and creativity and the need to make a living and things like that brings up kind of another question, and that is the connection to creativity that's emerging with entrepreneurship and how creative people who, you know, are artists or writers can connect to entrepreneurship. And as you've mentioned, we've talked about this before, that statistics show that women are starting their own businesses at unprecedented numbers in the last several years. And there are reasons, many reasons for that. But mm-hmm. I think one of them is all around creativity and entrepreneurship. Can you speak to that a little bit for us?
Sure. I really think that women are actually the gatekeepers of change and transformation, and that women are way more receptive to adaption of what we need to be doing to make sure that everything and everything, like I really believe like we're the beautifiers, like we like everything nice, pretty, beautiful, we want to support people, and there is this true connectivity about how we live our lives through our creative expression, you know, our homes, ourselves, how our children look as they go out the door, how our meals are presented. So it's always been heavily laden in the feminine. When we start looking at creativity being an expressive part of business, it really is essential, because what I've learned over the years working with women is that we are innately actually almost better tuned for business than men at times, because we have an ability to look at things and make it lovely, inviting, and connective to people. And, you know, business is really a great thing. I mean, I get into the conversation a lot with people, well, isn't it about money? Isn't it about, you know, stats? Where's the numbers? But the truth is, if you can't serve people well, you don't have a business. And I think that's where business is really shifting, because we are coming into what's called the connection economy. And it's how we engage with people to create really rich and enjoyable experiences. So I think this is... there's this desire to feel kind of less constrained, that now that we have the space to look at who we are, how can I do more of that in my life? Now that I have some choices versus worrying about, you know, I don't have to, like I said earlier, you don't have to go out to the fields and figure out where your food's coming from, that business in this level also allows women to be more creative in the way we get to work, because a lot of women don't want to have to leave their children at home. They want to be able to balance out some way of generating an income for themselves or making an impact in their communities, as well live a nice life without feeling like they're leaving somebody behind, either themselves or family or friends.
That brings up something else in my mind, and we talked about this recently as well, and that is with regard to, this is a little bit more specific, but with a woman in a creative type of business, how does that relate to branding yourself?
Well, you know, there's a thing that I hear all the time out in the bigger, loud marketing and yelling world of business, and it's always shouting for us to get out of the box, get out of the box. And as a personal brand strategist, I find that the truth of it is that you need to stay in your box and enhance who you are, because that's more attractive to people. You can't get a better edge than being better at being yourself. Especially if your service business or your business is actually based on a service that's reflective of you, like I said earlier, as a portfolio career. It's an accumulation of all the different things that you've done in your life. And as a person of, you know, who wants to create something that has more of a serving level of how do I impact the world, your personal brand is reflected through your values and your beliefs. And often I find it's not about serving yourself. It's about serving others at a higher level. And I clearly state this distinction that I see happening right now with women who are in service-based businesses, because that's who I primarily work with, is that we're shifting back from this servitude attitude, that your work and time is a commodity, into a true service business, where it's a more spiritual calling, it's a more purposeful calling to do work, to serve at a higher level, which means it's not just about me, but if you win, I win, because it's fulfilling.
You bring up a really good point there about servitude versus serving. And, mm-hmm. and it makes me think, too, about how with creative people, you know, artists or writers, your brilliance, it's sometimes said, you know, you're better if you've suffered a lot. It's like you're really nobody unless you've, you know, been through the trenches and, you know,
there was
a book
I read that was by a doctor who completely wrote about all these famous artists, authors, poets, about their suffering and how their art was the catalyst from the suffering. Like, yeah, it's in our collective unconscious that you have to suffer to be brilliant.
Well, you know, there is something about that too. And I just posted something the other day on Facebook, which was a cartoon about a cave person drawing on the walls, and someone standing at the bottom of a ladder said, "Why don't you get a real job like hunter-gatherer?" And it made me realize how much, like you say, the sort of collective thought about artistic people and creative people and writers, how much that sort of plays into how we feel about ourselves.
Yeah,
and you talked about a portfolio career, and I'm
mm-hmm.
curious about, could you elaborate on that? Because I'm really liking the sound of that.
Yeah. Well, I think that long gone are the days that we like I said, we shifted off the farms, we moved to the cities, we got our jobs, and at one point in our short history, because really I would have to equate this to the last 100 years, education at a higher level, like a university or college, was very selective to a select few. We've now moved into the place where we placed a lot of value on education, and yet we also had this place where you were required to do. And in coaching, we talk about this aspect of our do, have, and be. So if you do the right things and you go to school and you find the right job, then you'll have all the things that in our culture look successful. So that would be more stuff as far as I'm concerned. You know, more stuff, the right marriage, all these things. Then you will be somebody of significance. And I think that what we've seen in our culture is that that just doesn't work, because there are people of high profile, in the Western world, we really value celebrities and celebrity status. And we see these celebrities that have been placed on this platform, and they just fall in disgrace, because there's an aspect to this climbing and excelling and striving that really doesn't nurture the self and the soul. So when we go back and actually look at, well, what if I was to just be who I was, you know, completely, all the things I've done, and only do those things that are aligned with my values, I will have a life that's more expressive of who I am. It's more aligned in what I'm doing, and it's all more relatable to the things that make sense to me and the people that are involved in my life, personally and professionally. So professionally, I'm seeing a trend where people are taking a big look at everything they've done. They're pulling the common denominator out of it, and maybe it has to look like somebody who's been a caregiver, maybe somebody who's been very creative in their work in the past, somebody who was very good at delegating or managing, somebody who was really good at research, somebody who was really good at analytics, like engineering, and, you know, there's so many things that we're all very good at that is our creative outlet, that I think there's, you know, I've kind of concluded that that we really, our brilliance is in our blind spot. Thanks. I can't say I take ownership of that quote. One of my mentor coaches did. But I love that. Our brilliance is in our blind spot. And yet within that brilliance, because we can't often see it, we discount it as having a lot of value because it's easy for us. And our culture has really made it something to say, work is hard. If it's not hard, you've got to do all this stuff. You've got to take this path less traveled. And the truth is, I really think as a creative process and a creative outlet, the more you are aligned with yourself and your values, you are an expressive extension of the gifts that you were here to give by the divine, by the universe, by source, whoever you cherish in your life, that this higher power was given to you. And I think we need to stop discounting it, because I tell my clients all the time, the thing you do best is the thing you should be paid the most for. Because it is truly your gift to the world.
Wow, that is such a different way to look at it. I know that Suzanne has some questions too, so I'm going to just turn it over to her and go ahead, Suzanne.
Yeah, you know, as you're talking, it's funny because you're saying a lot of the things that I tell writers that I coach. You know, what you're good at is probably what you should be doing. So if you love to write about food, you can make a living writing about food instead of thinking you've got to write, you know, a novel. So it's that kind of stuff too. But also when you've been talking, I've been thinking about, you know, you talked about the world of business and also, creativity. Do you think there's a difference, though, really, between being creative or being innovative? Because I think innovative is what we valued in business for so many years. And now we're turning more to creativity, which to me is kind of the same thing. You take the guy out on the farm who's, to me, he's creative if he's being innovative enough to find out an easier way to milk the cow. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. I have two trains of thought about what you're stating. I do think that innovation is creative. I think that when it's applied in that level of awareness, that when we are put into a position where we need to look at something and be more innovative, then that's what we're doing. We're questioning something that's already been in existence, and we're trying to find a new solution for it. But what I will say is that smaller businesses can be more innovative than large companies and corporations can be. Innovation is actually very, very expensive for large companies. And I think that's one of the things that little businesses do better than big business, is it's just not cost-effective to be innovative. And when you're little in business, sometimes we look at big business and go, oh, my gosh, how am I going to do all of this? I don't have the budgets. I don't have all this stuff. Where creativity and innovation are actually very much the same. But like I said, in larger companies, because a lot of us model what we've seen, when I started out, I didn't realize there were so many different ways I could serve people. Especially now with leverage of the technologies we have with the internet and all the digital things that we have available to us to make things, even like this radio show was not possible, 15 years ago. So it's allowing us to have a deeper reach. So innovation is allowing us to do things more than we used to. But what I like is that I actually talk to my clients about using the process of Kaizen, which is incremental movement that's more aligned with the values. That is an innovative practice, but it allows mm-hmm. us to be more conscientious about the intention of what we want to create versus just creating to be profitable. And it's and when you do this, I do find that when you keep the value structure of who you're working for and why you're doing them and what or, you know, why you're serving them at the level that you want to, you become innovative because you're actually being fed by this creative energy. And people think you're innovative and brilliant, and the truth is you're just aligning yourself. You're like, this is what I like to do, that's what I don't like to do. You know, if you, I hired myself an assistant at the beginning of the year, finally, and the first question she said is, what are the four things you do best? And I want you to only do those four things. Well, I've been a solo entrepreneur for years. I've been managing all different, and I'm like, that was the hardest thing to finally nail down and say, okay, I like coaching, I love marketing, I love speaking, and I love writing. And she's like, great, you just do all that, and the rest of it hand to me. And here are you trying to be innovative and be on top of everything, but the truth is we have to stop and really take account. Is the innovation actually moving us forward, or is it actually, in some cases, keeping us hiding out? And that's another issue I see, is that we have this perfection complex that I've got to be edgy and new and adaptive. And the truth is the more you fall in and lean into your own well gifts of being, you don't have to be – I don't know, I find people vibrate at such a different level when they think they're in this high-level competition. And that's where artists and creatives actually suffer, because they think they're constantly having to be in content creation. And the truth is, I just want you to link back.
So are there myths of creativity that we have that sometimes limit the way we let creativity into our lives personally?
I think so. I think that some of the old myths around creativity, and I'm going to be honest, there's a really great book that I'm referencing right now. It's called Releasing the Creative Spirit. I didn't write down the author's name, but I can give it to you later if you want to post it on your blog. But he looks at the idea of creativity as some of the old myths of creativity was that you had to be an elite member of society to be creative, or you had to be born with an artistic gift, and that creativity, again, was something that was only to the select few. Oh, I like this one. You had to be neurotic and borderlining on suicidal. Or a lonely introvert. Or I really appreciate this one. He said, or to be creative, you have to be an alcoholic or engage in drugs, which is also some of these things that artists get, you know, what is your muse? And I think that people who are, looking at some of these myths, that you have to be self-absorbed, that you can't actually operate in the real world. And I kind of challenge some of these creative myths, because the truth is that creativity actually stems from your spirit or your soul, what I call your core value. It's part of who you are, and that it's accessible to everybody. But because we don't often value creativity, what I see happen is that we pepper it through our lives and we call it other things.
Yeah, especially, so what are some creative things that we do all the time in our daily life, but maybe we don't see them as being creative?
Well, I think as women, one of the most creative things is how we show up, is how we do our hair, our makeup. We beautify ourselves. So that's a creative expression of who we are. Another thing is that I think and I work a lot with women, so please, this isn't man bashing or anything or trying to neglect them. It's just that I know that women do it differently. But creativity is, for me, it shows up in the way we cook our meals. It's the way that we contact our friends and the kind of love and support we share. It's the way we garden, the way we dance, the way we sing. It's the way we work sometimes. And this one has become a real issue with a lot of my clients because they have children still. Creatively looking at how they structure their schedule so it's more fluid for them. So when I think of creativity, I think there's like an energy of fluidity, like you just think you could just be able to tap into source, and it's like a river. And if you understand how to kind of channel that and then put some structure around it, like on a time schedule, but you're going to structure in your day, you know, this creative ability to let yourself visualize and see what you want to make in your life. And I think that's something that is really valuable that women kind of say. We look at what we want. We find ways to go after those things where there is, and then I always say you need structure and you need serendipity. And creativity is kind of that serendipitous moment where you have the experience and then all of a sudden something happens and you create that. It just shows up. And, you know, we can get into a whole nother dialogue about that. But that's where I think it's so fun when you start looking at how you can take the things that you do intuitively and naturally and apply it to business structure. So creativity shows up in everything that we do. But a lot of times we're operating from a default of it's not enough. And we unfortunately live in a culture of scarcity. So you're not enough, you don't have enough, you don't own enough. And creativity gets stifled because where a lot of people are just walking around in fear.
Mm. Uh-huh. Well, how is creativity related to discipline then, or is it?
I love this conversation. This is one of my favorite questions because I've actually started challenging that one to go out there, that I think that the creative acts that we do on a daily basis, actually, without really consciously understanding, it supports our joy. You know, the fact that we are always looking for joy in our lives. So the creative things that we do, mm-hmm. listening to music, singing, writing, dancing, painting, gardening, you know, caring for animals, these little things bring joy to our lives. And that to have these joys, you have to actually acknowledge and allow them in. And there's a discipline to saying no. Like, you love that, you know, I love when people say no is a sentence all on its own. But discipline is actually saying no, because I'm going to challenge and throw out there to your audience that there is a new definition of what discipline is. And that for me, having a discipline is actually creating actions around self-respect. That I'm going to set my life up and my business up that's more disciplined and structured, so it allows me to be more expressive and do the things and allow the things in that I know work better for me versus, you know, being tethered to a bunch of stuff and letting things come in and out and distract me and move me around and just say, no, that's not going to work for me anymore. So discipline is actually a level of self-respect in my world. So mm-hmm. I'm hoping that some people kind of go, oh, thank God. I hope you want to let yourself off the hook. But it requires you to actually show up and be kind of intentional about how you're living. And again, the only way you're going to know is if you get creative and take a good look at how you show up.
Yeah, that makes discipline a nicer word than most people think about it. You know,
well, exactly. In our cultures, discipline's always been around power. But we're in a place mm-hmm. where we have a conscious awakening on this planet, and we're not looking for power over others. We're looking empowerment of self. So we have to mm-hmm. take some of the words that we've been using in our culture and really challenge them and say, well, if I need discipline. We can't not have discipline. Our laws are based on discipline. But discipline of self means it's a process of self-respect. At least that's what I'm telling my boys.
Yeah.
Respect yourself, respect the girls.
Right. Well, listen, we are almost out of time. So, Wendy, do you have another question for Wendy before we close out? And I know she's got something she wants to offer people, too. So I'll just let you finish up, Wendy Dewar Hughes, and then you can
Yes. Wendy, what are three takeaway acts of creative awareness that we can activate in our lives today to help us gain that clarity necessary if we want to explore the options of entrepreneurial self-awareness? Can you just shoot us three quick ones?
Yeah, absolutely. The first one I recommend is that we start keeping what I call daily evidence journals. There are things that are showing up in our life. I mean, a lot of us are used to having gratitude journals. We're being thankful for what we're receiving. But it's also being more intentional when you start looking at wanting to build your own business. We're our own worst enemies of self-doubt. But if you create within your desk calendar or even on your desktop a little journal that at the end of every workday that you have, start writing the wins down, the daily evidence of things that are showing up that are supporting you to move forward. And they may be things like a client says that you know, you've changed their life, they had such a great success with working with you, or they love something, or somebody contacted you like Wendy did on, you know, recently and asked me to be on this show, which I'm really honored. These are the things like daily evidence. The second thing is I really think that we need to really schedule creativity times into our lives. We need more space to think. We are creative beings in business. We're always, especially in my business, I'm always trying to find ways to serve people better, how else can I add more value to them? And I need space and time, so I actually build time in my calendar, and I recommend people do that and say, listen, if it was a client call, you would show up for it. But for whatever reason, whenever we write things in our calendar that has more to do with us, we kind of feel like we can fudge that line and push it down a little further and move that line in the sand. And I want you to hold yourself as your own best client, because you ask the best of your clients, so you may need to start asking the best of ourselves. And then
okay,
the third thing.
20 more seconds, yeah. Sorry, 20 more seconds.
No, that's okay.
Okay.
My last one is really, really very poignant. Just know that you're enough.
Where can people reach you?
They can contact me through my website. It's www.radiantedgeconsulting.com, and that's exactly what it is, Radiant Edge Consulting. And I do have a gift for your listeners today that I created. I have a poster that I created for you that's called The 10 Reasons to Be Yourself for a Living. And they can go on to my site, and if they did, www.radiantedgeconsulting.com/creative-gift. And
great.
I think there's a .html on the end. I have to recheck that with my VA. But if the link's not working, I'll send it out to you, Wendy, so you can put it on your post as well. But I thank you both for this opportunity today. It's been fantastic.
Yes, and thank you for being our guest. And I think that's a wrap, Suzanne.
Yeah, this is great. Thanks so much. Take care, everybody. Bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.